I read our scripture reading, which is Genesis chapter 33, the first 11 verses. Genesis chapter 33, reading from verse 1 down to verse 11. This is when Jacob and Esau met for the first time after 20 years. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted up his eyes, and saw the women and the children, and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaidens came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, or I beseech thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, and though I had seen the face of God, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible word, and may God himself add his divine blessing to it. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to please turn them to Genesis chapter 33, and we will read just one verse, verse 5. Let's hear God's word. And he, that is Esau, lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he, that is Jacob, said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." May the Lord add his divine blessing to the reading of his holy, precious word. Boys and girls, last year, my family and I went to Tim Hortons in Beamsville, Canada. And there we met a group of teenagers, And one of them goes to the YMCA, where I also go for my exercise. And when this teenager saw me and all the children with me, she inquired, "Are they all yours?" she said. She was referring to all my five young children. I replied, "Yes, they are all mine." Then she said, "I feel sorry for you." In other words, she felt sorry for me that I have five children. She viewed my children not as blessings, but as burdens. Not as blessings, but as burdens. And I am afraid that there are many people today who view children in the same way. I still remember a certain woman came to me and told me frankly that she was too selfish to have a child. She did not want to have a child because she knew it would only mean an inconvenient life. For her, having a child would just interfere with her life, with her education, with her career, with her life. Well, here in our passage, we see Jacob thinking of his children in a different way. In our remaining time, we will look at how Jacob regards his children. And so really, in this message, I will give you a basic theology of children. How are we to view our children? And I will give you three coming from our text, which is Genesis chapter 33, verse 5. If you're jotting down, here's the first one. So the question is, how does Jacob view his children? So first, he sees God as the ultimate giver of his children. Look at verse 5 again, please. "And he," that is Esau, "lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, 'Who are those with thee?' And he," Jacob, "said, 'The children which God has graciously given thy servant.'" Now, we know the context. If you recall, boys and girls, Jacob deceived his father Isaac to obtain the birthright blessing of his twin brother Esau. And because of that, Esau was so upset. In fact, he was so angry that we read in Genesis 27 verse 41 that he wants to kill his brother Jacob. And because of that, Jacob ran away from his brother Esau with the advice of his mother. Jacob went to his uncle Laban in Haran. And there he remained there for 20 years. So for 20 years, Esau and Jacob had not seen each other. Then we come to our passage, Genesis chapter 33. They met for the first time. And according to our passage, when Esau saw the women and the children, he inquired, he asked his twin brother Jacob, "My brother Jacob, who are those with thee?" And notice how Jacob replied, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." That is a beautiful answer. Now, Jacob does not say, "They are my children." And there's nothing wrong with that answer. If you were to ask me, Pastor Brian, who are these with you, these five children? I can say they are my children. There's nothing wrong about that answer. But instead of saying that, Jacob intentionally replied to his brother, they are the children which God has graciously given thy servant. In other words, Jacob here gives the credit to God. These children are from God, and God has been kind enough to give them to me. God is the source and origin of all my children. God created my children. As God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So it was God who formed our children in the wombs of their mothers. In Psalm 139, David sings to God, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb, or you knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. God made us. Children, listen to this. It was God Himself who made you. And that's why abortion is so evil. Because in abortion, what you are doing is you are destroying the very work of God. God knit us together in our mother's wombs. Now imagine this for a moment. Let's say you are kneading something. Let's say you are making a basket, a beautiful basket, and you presented that basket to me. You said, look, Pastor Brian, I kneaded this basket. It's so beautiful, isn't it? You said to me, yes, it is. And then right in front of you, I destroyed it. What would you feel? I would not be surprised if you get mad at me. If you get angry with me. Now, multiply that by infinity, that feeling. Whenever someone aborts a child, that person is destroying the very work of God. But here's the point here. That it is God who made us. We came from God. And whether you have children by natural conception or by in vitro fertilization or by adoption, your children are children that God made and gave you graciously. Graciously. And that's why there is no such thing as an unplanned pregnancy. Even when you and your spouse, you and your wife are not planning to have a child, and then lo and behold, you got pregnant. And in your mind, we're not prepared for this. We're not ready to have a child. You thought it was almost like an accident. It was not an accident. You did not plan for it, but God did. Remember, it was God who opens and closes a womb. He opens a womb so that a child can be conceived, and He closes a womb so that no conception can take place. They are the children which God has graciously given thy servant. And this is how God wants you and me to think about our children. Parents, do we recognize this? That all our children are from the Lord, and that we are but stewards of the Lord. And this is so humbling, by the way. Have you ever thought about this? That God could have chosen another set of parents to raise your children now? Think about that. Have you ever asked this question? Like, why me, Lord? Why have you chosen me, Lord, to be a father of my children despite all my weaknesses, despite all my shortcomings, despite all my sins? Lord, you know my impatience. I have not been a good father. You know my tendency to sin. Why me, Lord? It's so humbling, isn't it? And yet, it has pleased the Lord in his providence to have chosen you to be a father, to be a mother of your children. And that blessing comes with great responsibilities. Because when we realize that our children are ultimately from the Lord, they are God's children, they belong to children that God has only entrusted them to us, then we need to really take good care of these children. Because at the end of the day, we will give an account to the Lord. We will give an account to the Lord on how we have raised these children. His children. So Jacob sees God as the ultimate giver of his children. Second, Jacob views his children as a divine gift or favor. By the way, all my 3 points here overlap. So let's look at our text again, Genesis chapter 33, verse 5. And he, or Esau, lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And Jacob said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." Or literally, if you are to translate this verse, especially the latter part, literally it reads this way. Please listen carefully. The children with whom God has favored thy servant. And this echoes what the angel of the Lord said to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Let me read that passage. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Mary, you have found favor with God. Same here for Jacob. He knew that he found favor with God, that all these children are a divine gift, a favor. In other words, God is actually doing Jacob a favor in giving these children to him. Now, you may not feel this this way. You might ask, are you sure that when God gave me these children, he was doing me a favor? What favor? Especially maybe one of your children is not attending church anymore. Maybe your child has become wayward, like a prodigal son. Maybe you have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. A child who has become so worldly, so ungodly, a child who is causing trouble to you or causing pain in your heart or grief to you. And you're saying that this child is a favor from God, that God is doing me a favor? How can that be? And that's a good question. And if that's your case this afternoon, I'm sorry to hear that. If you have a child who is no longer attending church, I'm sorry to hear that. But let me say this to you. And you know, one of my favorite doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of God's providence. It has become a source of my comfort in life, especially during the time of intense trial. In Lord's Day 10, which is about God's providence, we read this: all things, in fact, come to us not by chance nor by accident, but by His fatherly hand. And then Lord's Day 9, the main author of the Heidelberg Catechism, Zacharias or Sinus, says, "I trust my Heavenly Father so much that I do not doubt that He will turn to my good whatever He sends upon me in this sad world." Of course, this is based on Romans 8:28, that all things without exception, yes, including your wayward child, all things work together for our good. And the word good in Romans 8, verse 28, should be understood in light of the word conformity to the image of Jesus Christ in verse 29 of the same chapter. In other words, God is going to use your ungodly child for your own sanctification. And it is in that sense that you can say that God is doing you a favor. And isn't it true that, and I've talked to several fathers about this. In fact, I was just recently talking to one father whose daughter has become prodigal, has become like that prodigal son in that parable of the prodigal son. And he said to me, "Because of this, I learned to pray more to the Lord. Because of this, I learned to depend more on God. Because of this, I learned to depend more on God's strength and not on my own strength." Because let's admit this, parents. Somehow, deep within us, we think that we can change our children. Somehow, deep within us, we think that if we are consistent in our family devotion, then we will have godly children. As if the future of our children depends on what we do for them. And that is wrong. Somehow we think that, well, if I pray consistently for my children, then my children will turn to be wonderful, godly men and women of God. But that is not true. There's no guarantee. You can spend the rest of your life praying for your children. You can be so consistent in your family devotion. You can raise your children in the fear of the Lord, but unless the Holy Spirit circumcises their hearts, they will not experience true conversion. In other words, only the Holy Spirit can transform the lives of our children. Now, does it mean that we will just sit and wait for the Holy Spirit to change the hearts of our children? No, please don't misunderstand me. Let's use all the means of grace. Let's do everything in our power. Let's act as if their salvation depends on us. And yet, at the back of our minds, we are aware that only God can change them, can save them, can transform them. But you see, my point is that even when we have wayward children. God can use that to draw us closer to the Lord. Now, maybe some of you have special children with special needs. And you're saying, Pastor Brian, you have no idea what you're talking about. My wife and I are so tired emotionally raising our children. Well, again, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I may not be able to relate to you how difficult it is to raise a child with special needs. But let me say this to you, that God does not make a mistake. God is too wise to be mistaken. That whatever He does it for His own glory. And that God is not obliged to explain everything to us. There are things that He does not reveal to us. And in that way, we simply need to submit to God's secret will and say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand, Lord, why You gave me a child like this, a special child. I don't get it. Why, Lord? But I will submit to You. I still remember my mother-in-law shared this story with me. And this happened in the Netherlands. There was a God-fearing woman in the Netherlands who had a child born to her that was totally disabled. The child could not walk, could not talk, and could not respond. And by the way, this was their only child. And they had been praying to have a child. And the Lord answered their prayer, but the Lord gave them this disabled child. And so the child lay this way for 18 years. And one day, as the mother stood looking at her child, she felt rebellion and despair in her heart and said out loud, "Why? Why were you ever created? Why were you ever born?" All of a sudden, this child, who never spoke, said, "To glorify God forever." And then the child died. The child died after uttering those words, "To glorify God forever." Oh, what a lesson for that mother and for all of us. You see, ultimately, our children have been given to us for our own sanctification and for God's own glory. And when we view our children as such, it will really change the way we raise our children. Yes, yes, it is not easy to have children. And that's why many mothers would rather abort their unborn children because of inconvenience. Because of inconvenience. Yes, we don't deny it, that there are times that it is not convenient to have children. Yes, it is not easy to raise a child. That sometimes you have to wake up early in the morning, especially a newborn. You have to wake up 2 a.m., change the diaper, and feed the child. And yes, that child can interrupt your life, my life. Yes, yes, that child can interfere with our dream, with our career. But isn't it true that the joy of parenting children outweighs the burden, the inconvenience that we experience as parents? Third, so first, Jacob sees God as the ultimate giver of children. Second, he views his children as a divine gift. And finally, he regards his children as undeserved blessings, not as burdens. Look at verse 5 again, please. Who are these with you? Jacob said, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. Oh, I love that. Again, of course, this is in English now, the rendition that I'm reading. The children whom God has graciously given your servant. I want you to notice two things here. That adverb, graciously, modifying that verb, given. That Jacob is recognizing that this gift is an undeserved gift, graciously given to me, and then he calls himself servant. I am a servant. I don't deserve all these children. Now, parents, can we not say the same thing? Who among us parents can say, well, I deserve to have children? I don't. I don't. Who am I? Who am I that the Lord will bless me with five children? It's His grace. And what is grace? Oh, I love to define the word grace as this. Grace is something that we receive from God that we do not deserve. And now Jacob is saying, my children have been given to me graciously by God. By God. Especially when we read what he says too in the previous chapter, chapter 32, verse 10. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. Jacob is saying, I am not worthy of all the love and faithfulness God has shown me. And then he adds, I only had a shepherd's staff when I crossed the Jordan River, but now I have two camps. And that's true because remember the context of our passage. Jacob actually was in a hurry. He only brought a stick with him, a shepherd's staff. This stick, that's all that he had when he went to Haran. But when he came back to Esau, he had children, women with him. So much blessings. I am not worthy of the least of all the blessings God has given me. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Now, maybe you are here this afternoon and you're saying, this is a good message to those who have children. But Pastor Brian, I don't know if you understand. My wife and I have no children. We want to have children, but we cannot have children. We tried all possible means, but my wife cannot get pregnant. Again, I'm so sorry to hear that. If that's the case with you. But I have good news for you. There is another child. There is another child. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, we read, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Think of this. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. Now, usually when you make an announcement, if there is a birth of a child, you say, okay, this child is born to the names of the parents of the child. Now, in Isaiah 9 verse 6, it says here, to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And we know who this child is. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God is saying, I'm giving my child to you. And this is so humbling. Actually, all my 3 points apply to this child. First, it is God who gives this child. We read that so clearly in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And by the way, John 3:16 is not about Christmas. It is about Holy Week. It speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God the Father gave his Son to be crucified on the cross of Calvary, so that if we believe in his Son, we should not perish in hell but have everlasting life with God in the new heaven and new earth. God gave his child. And the second point that we have, that this child is a gift, a favor, a gift. Remember what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Thanks be to God. For what? For his unspeakable gift. Referring to Jesus Christ. This is the indescribable, indescribable, inexpressible gift, free gift of his Son. Think about this, that God the Father gave us this precious gift, his own Son. His own Son. Third point, that this is an undeserved blessing. We don't deserve Jesus. We deserve judgment, not Jesus. We don't deserve Christ. We deserve condemnation. Oh, but God gave us the exact opposite of what we deserve. You call it amazing grace. Amazing grace indeed. That we have this child. And now this child can be ours by faith. Like what I said, there's nothing wrong for me to say, these are my children. Yes, I know God made them. Yes, they belong to God ultimately, but God has given them to me. Therefore, they are now mine. And the same is true. Yes, this child is the child, the Son of God, but he can be yours by faith. Think about this. God the Father is offering his Son to us sinners, to us rebels, to us his enemies, so that if we receive his Son, then we will be part of his family. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right to become the children of God. And only Jesus can truly say to us, remember what Elkanah said to Hannah when Hannah could not have children yet. Elkanah, in his desire to comfort his wife, he said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? But you see, only Jesus can say that to us. Because here, Elkanah is a picture of Christ. Yes, you may not have children. Maybe you and your wife have no children. And admittedly, that can cause grief, pain. Oh, Jesus is saying to you, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Really, what Jesus is saying, am I not better to you than any desire of your heart? Because that was Hannah's desire, to have a child. More specifically, to have a son. But God is saying, am I not better to you than any desire of your heart. You see, yes, it is wonderful to have children. But parents, our children will die someday. Usually we go first. In the new heaven and new earth, there is no relationship as father and son or mother and daughter. If your joy is found only in your children, then you only have a temporal joy. If all that you have in this world is your child, your children, you really have nothing. But if you have this child, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have everything, because only Him can give you peace. He is the peace child. And let me end with this illustration, which I read. Actually, there is a book entitled Peace Child, written by Don Richardson. In that book, he shares his experience about his missionary work among the Sawi tribe located in Indonesia. Now, you need to realize that at this time, tribal villages were constantly killing each other. And according to the Sawi culture, the fighting would only stop if a peace child could be provided. That is to say, if one tribe gave one of their children to be raised by their enemy village, the war would cease. And so as long as this child is alive, there will be peace between the two villages. So picture now this with me. Your village number one, your village number two, you are constantly fighting. The only way for you to have peace is that if one of your children be given to that tribe over there and be raised by that tribe, and you do the same. You offer one of your children and then they will raise that child. And then, so long that the two children are alive, there will be peace between the two tribal villages. Now, there was a father who was blessed with only one child after years of marriage. And this father decided to sacrifice and offer his only son as a peace child to the other tribal village to stop the battle. But before this father offered his only child, he went around his village to ask fathers with several children if they would be willing to offer one of their children. No one was willing. And so he decided to offer his only child, who brought peace between two opposing villages. Here we have a beautiful picture of the gospel. God the Father has only one child, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave Him to us, His enemies. He gave His Son to be a peace child, to stop the war between us and God, so that those who have His Son will have peace with God. As Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, through whom? Through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through this only child given to us. And so the question that I want you to ask this afternoon is this: do you have this child, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, you have no peace. If you have His child, you have peace with God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your precious Son. We thank You that through Him, we can have peace with You. We thank You that You are actually offering Him to us sinners freely, that we can receive Him, that He can be ours by faith. What a blessing that is, O Lord. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.